Welcome to Anything But a One, Adventures in Miniature Wargaming. Here are your hosts, Tom Castaños, Richard Martinez, and Ray Winstead. Take it away, guys.
Welcome back to Anything But a One, Adventures in Historical Miniature Wargaming. Chantel, thank you for that lovely intro. It's going to be just me today, Tom Castaños, but I do have a special guest with Jason Weiser, who's actually the editor-in-chief of a pretty new magazine, Military Miniature. And I love the heading, Jason, you know, that you talk about the voice of American miniature wargaming. And I don't want to go all America on us here, but, you know, I really feel like in a lot of ways, this hobby is very European in some ways. What made you focus on that? Tell me a little bit about your idea of starting this fabulous magazine.
Well, thank you for the wonderful intro. I guess it was a case of, you know, M1 went under, Courier went under, and I spent about a decade just looking at the British glossies do less and less and less American coverage. Mm-hmm. And when they did American coverage, and no offense to the British folks listening to this, but it was kind of an afterthought. It was a kind of, oh, isn't that nice? Look at what the Americans are doing, you know?
All right.
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, please.
Yeah. And I said to myself, somebody's got to do something. And I kept saying to myself for a while. And finally, I hit upon the fact that somebody's probably going to have to be me.
So this is the,
someone
this is
like
the,
me.
Be the change you want to see in the world, right? So you live
that
motto.
Exactly.
Yeah, very good. And I'm glad you brought up the Courier. And I know you also mentioned it in your foreword, because it is very much what the magazine reminded me of. For those of us that are listening that are old enough to remember the printed Courier magazine, you know, I waited with bated breath, for the next issue, because not only did it have gaming and reviews, it had history, all kinds of stuff, and really good quality stuff. I mean, some rules that we still used up till very recently. There was an excellent issue with a set of rules for kind of a forlorn hope siege. And, you know, it was just stuff you couldn't find anywhere else. So I'm really happy to see that in a lot of ways, y'all have kind of picked up that gauntlet and come forward. Now, I want to mention that for now, at least, Military Miniature is a digital publication. I know, but y'all mentioned that, you know, depending on popularity, there's a, you know, maybe at some future date, this could be a print thing, but I don't know if that's the way anything goes anymore. Well, you know, what's your thought on that?
Well, it's a tricky thing. And I'm going to be honest with your listeners. It's going to depend on two things. One, sales.
Sure.
Two, I don't know how many of them know this, but there's a shortage on glossy paper right now.
Really?
Like everything else, there's a shortage. And the problem is, I mean, and for those who are paper subscribers to War Games Illustrated, you probably noticed that it's not a glossy anymore in the true sense.
Yeah.
They can't get the paper. And it's, you know, so it's going to depend on those things. And what it's also going to depend on is, like I said, but mainly what it's going to depend on is the commercial viability. And that's really what it comes down to. We need readers. We need advertisers. We need, you know, people willing to, you know, support the magazine. And I think, you know, as for digital being the future, I think in a way it probably is. I mean, you know, War Games Illustrated is getting away from, you know, paper copies as much as they can. I don't know if anybody saw the subscription prices for their new, for American subscribers here in the States through their new distributor. Mm-hmm. I took one look and I got sticker shock. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the cost right now. And again, no one's fault, but the cost of just getting anything out of the UK right now, I was looking at I'll just say the name. I was looking at a Geek Villain mat, one that's not available in the U.S. distributor, and I had the price of the mat, and then 50%, again, the cost of the shipping. And, you know, I don't want to sound too tightwad about this, but I all of us have a limited amount of discretionary funds, you know, unless you're Vin Diesel or Henry Cavill playing Warhammer. You know, we're not going to roll out there with every available. I just saw a great meme with Henry Cavill talking about they had just re-upped him for The Witcher, and it says now he can afford a 300.40k army. It's like, and that's about right, you know. But the reality of it is, you know, getting miniatures from England, getting anything, and again, no aspersions to our good friends over there. You have fabulous products, but yeah, right now the shipping is almost cost prohibitive.
It is. And, you know, I'm going to say this to anybody who's thinking about starting a company over here. In some ways, I'd encourage it, mainly because, you know, there are, you know, gamers over here who can't get certain things from England, can't, you know, they're going to look at the shipping prices and they're like, ugh. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now to quote the movie Waterloo, now's your time.
That's right. That's right. And another great thing that one of my favorite articles in the copy, the original first edition that I saw was your thing on the Norman invasion. And what made me so happy about that. So we're here out of San Antonio, Texas. All right. So we're in the South Texas. And this is known as Military City USA. I mean, this city was really, the modern city of San Antonio was built around multiple Air Force bases and an Army base. Having said that, historical miniature gaming is still kind of hard to find. I mean, there's a big group, we have a convention, but you know, on any given Saturday at the local club, it's still Star Wars Legion and 40K with a good healthy dose of bolt action and an evening group that does all the battlefronts, the Team Yankees and all of that kind of stuff. But to see an American publication, one of their first major articles being the Norman conquest was just fabulous. Tell me, you know, is it just me? Is it the myopic view of South Texas? But are there a lot of Americans, in your opinion, playing a wide variety of historical miniature war games?
I think there are. I think we're a larger country than the UK. I mean, that's an obvious statement, but we're just more scattered, I think. I mean, this subject came up with me and a few friends at a StoreCon, and we just were talking, and, you know, somebody made a good point. They said, by percentage of the population, we're probably about the same number, or maybe even a little less, in terms of, you know, our percentage of the population versus the UK. Mm-hmm. But in absolute numbers, I bet we're bigger.
I'm willing
to make that bet.
That makes sense. And maybe a little more insular too, that we have the, you know, the bigger homes and we get the guys over on the dining room table or the ping pong table in the garage or the basement versus people living in smaller homes and going down to the club to play these games. Because, you know, my thought of it, you know, and again, this is stupid stereotype, but you know, I see, you know, I feel like when I read Facebook groups and whatever, like every block in England there's a group playing Napoleonics or, you know, playing Ancients. That's the way it looks, at least, right, the people around here that are starved for that kind of game. But yeah, you're right, I'm sure it's just a matter of percentages. Thank you. I didn't think of it like that.
It's a matter of percentages. And also, I think we have a different outlook on our wargaming. Like, you know, I'll be honest with you. I think in some ways we chase the latest, you know, whatever rule set comes out of certain companies. And I'm not going to name them because they put out good stuff. Sure. They put out good stuff.
Yeah.
But we tend to be faddish over here. We do.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, something for bolt action came out. Everybody runs the bolt action.
That's right.
Ooh, something, you know, the latest Joseph McCullough, you know, thing came out. Everybody runs over there. I mean, it's, you know, they're good rules writers. They wouldn't,
absolutely,
if they weren't good at it, they wouldn't be selling.
Right.
But I'm just saying, it, you know, for smaller companies, it can take the oxygen out of the room.
Yep. Yep. I was thinking, you know, and I've mentioned this before on this show. I think it's, I like it because I've actually played the game and enjoy it, but I think it borderlines on comical the way people have fallen all over themselves for all the epic scale black powder games when a year ago you couldn't get people to pay black powder at gunpoint, you know, and it's the same rules just in a box full of really cool, weird sized miniatures, and people have lost their minds over it. You know, it's like, that's marketing. That's genius marketing on the part of the people that work. Like I said, I like black, but I have no problem with black powder. But I mean, that's an excellent example of what you were talking about. We are a little bit trendy in nature. But, you know, there was another article in this first edition that I really enjoyed, kind of an editorial about the complexity of games and, you know, gaminess. Does that make it less or more of a game? And that's another thing that we've talked about ad nauseum, and actually we have an episode coming up with Sam Mustafa, who's going to be talking about that very thing, because I, of the American game authors, I put him very high on the list of people that write very unique games. You know, he has a system that is really like no other. I mean, some like it, some don't, but you could never say that Sam copied anybody. And that article really was a wonderful piece that explained, that I thought did a really nice job of explaining the difference between complexity and, you know, what does that mean? If you're not playing a simulation, are you not really playing a war game, and all of those kinds of things. Top to bottom, I thought it was a really beautiful magazine with, of course, the other great thing about it being digital, and this would be something that you would likely have to take into account in print. Absolutely 100% full color. Color pixels don't cost any more than black and white pixels, right? So it's a stunning looking magazine, and your photography and everything was outstanding as well. I know that you'll be depending a lot on submissions for articles. How's that going so far?
We're actually a little bit oversubscribed for the one coming out. Mm-hmm. And we're taking submissions for April right now, which will be, that'll close out on February the 18th.
Okay. And subscription, I should say that submission information can be found on your webpage?
Yeah, or I can just give you the email where you can send your submissions to. It's jason@militaryminiature.com.
Okay, great. And I'll put that in the show notes as well. So people out there, you don't have to be scrambling for a pen, and for heaven's sakes, if you're driving, keep both hands on the wheel. We don't want to be the cause of the 12-car pileup outside of Nashville, right? But but I think, you know, there's a lot of good voices out there, and you know, we see some outstanding after-action reports on YouTube channels. So I think if you're a budding writer and want to have your games highlighted in a fantastic publication, this is the way to go. So, I mean, can you tell us about any cool articles coming up? Like maybe a little sneak preview about what to expect in the next issue?
There's a lot in the next issue. I know the Battlegroup fans are going to be really happy.
Nice.
If you want obscure conflicts, we've got that for you. We've got a war I didn't know about. Apparently the Soviet Union in 1929 thought it was a great idea to invade Afghanistan.
We'll never learn, will we? But anyway, no, go ahead.
They won't.
Yeah.
Apparently it was an ill thought idea from the mind of Trotsky himself. I don't know what they were seeking to achieve. Neither did Jim Webster. It's his article, and you know how Jim does the scruffy side of warfare. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's his thing.
Sure.
And he's sitting there, and I'm sitting there, I'm asking him, was there a point to all this? He goes, and it is a very British way. He says, damned if I know. I mean, the Soviets were so bonkers about this. They had their troops dress in Afghan mufti and do the whole, you know, we're not really Soviets. We're not really Soviets. Then when they're charging the gates of Mazar-i Sharif, they break out into a long hoorah, which isn't fooling anybody.
I'm sure the accent really killed it, right?
Yeah, really.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like I said, you just not, you know, this campaign was weird.
Yeah.
But that's what made me want to make this thing on the cover, because it's like, yeah, nobody's ever heard of this. I ain't heard of this. So
right.
Come on, let's run with it.
Yeah, you would hope that you know, that has an appeal that people don't want to just keep reading about what they know. I mean, there's so, you know, our little group here, that all the Ray and Richard, you know, we suffer from absolute attention deficit disorder, that, you know, I'll just, not so much trendy, but I'll just run across some miniatures and I'll go, man, I want to paint those. I don't have a rule set for them. I just want to paint, you know, Egyptians and sea people or whatever else. Then all of a sudden we're looking for rules and we have far more games than we can actually play on any given year, you know. But seeing articles like that definitely, you know, can fire up my interest in something. Like, you know, movies can do the same thing, but a good article, you know, great stuff. In the first issue you guys had, I also liked your article on the simple urban basing. You know, so again, keeping that it's a magazine for the entire hobby. You had talked about rules, you talked about specific historical times, and then boom, here you are talking about the modeling aspect of it. Is that something you hope to keep going as well?
Oh, absolutely. We've got two articles on that. We've got Michael Farnworth wrote us a 3D printing article, how to, basically, because, and I'm going to be reading that with rapt attention because I've got a Photon resin printer that I have yet to get a successful print out of.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mark Burgess, And Mark Burgess wrote us an article on how to paint 1 to 6,000 World War II naval models. And I'm like, 1 to 6,000? I didn't even know they made anything that small.
But you know, you could get a really good big naval game in that scale. I mean, even 2,400th scale is challenging to get the stuff on the board in any kind of scale game. I'd be all in on that. In spite of the fact that I'm getting old and the eyesight's getting worse, from a game standpoint, almost the smaller the miniature, the better when it comes to what most of us want to play. I always say this, you know, I didn't grow up wanting to be a brigade commander. I wanted to be Napoleon, you know, so it was, I needed 7 core on the table, which has almost never happened in my gaming career.
I don't think it's happened in just about anybody's gaming career that I know. Although the last podcast I was on, the Yorkshire Big Game, he seemed to make it sound like he was, getting that on routinely. And I'm, you know, I mean, I like Ken. Ken's a great guy and he runs a great podcast. But Ken, man, I love you, buddy. But if you can get 7 Napoleonic core on a table, I'll be there to cover it.
He's the hero. He's my hero if he's doing it, you know. I got a great, great kick out of the fact that y'all had an article by Rob Womenhorst on the Green Inferno. As a matter of fact, I just played his game run by him at Millennium Con and then saw him again just this past weekend at Texas Broadsides aboard the USS Texas Battleship. And it's great to see a game like Battle Group getting the love in a magazine like this, because I think it's kind of fallen, I won't say to the wayside, but I don't see as much coverage of Battle Group. And it's a great set of rules.
Well, then you're going to love this next coming issue. We've got 2 articles for Battle Group in it.
That's fantastic. Do you think there's a resurgence of interest,
or are you leading the charge? I'm probably going to be the one leading the charge, but you know, I kind of arm wrestled peers into giving us a 3-scenario campaign for 30th Infantry Division that's going to be in the next issue.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's
so, you know, yeah.
I'm from someone who played all the Battlefront games, and they're charming games, but Battle Group definitely offers a different experience where you can use your same miniatures. You don't have to go out, you know, but the great bugaboo of people that I either have to go and remount everything or I have to paint an entirely new army. You don't have to, and you can play a game that has definitely a little bit more depth than, say, you know, a Flames of War does.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I'm hoping to do. One of the things I'm hoping to do with this magazine is also give some highlight to some of the companies and rule sets and miniatures lines that don't get the attention from, you know, War Games Illustrated or Miniature War Games. Like, I mean, you know, I wanted to set that tone, especially for our first issue, when I went and I covered the Barrage Wargaming Convention at Harvard of Grace, Maryland. It's about an hour and a half from us. It's, you know, 200 some odd people show up. You know, it's not Historicon. It's not, I don't know what Millennium Con numbers are, but, you know, it's a fairly mid-sized convention.
Yeah.
But has War Games Illustrated ever gone? No.
No.
Has Miniature War Games ever gone? No.
No.
We were there, and I'm happy to say we, you know, not only covered it, I think we gave it the attention it deserves, because it's a small up-and-coming, well, excuse me, mid-sized up-and-coming con that, you know, if you haven't been, go. It's a fun experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Millennium Con was, I think, just under 400 this year, which, you know,
that's not bad.
That's a great size convention, particularly post COVID, and nobody knew really who was feeling up to coming. But I think the reality was everybody was up to come. They were so ready to be back out in the world with their gamer friends again. I don't know. I would never suggest anything like our podcast could be like, I don't know, Texas correspondence for your magazine, but we could work on that. We could see how we could help you guys get some wider coverage.
I would love the assistance. I know Rob's, you know, like I said, he's been a consistent contributor for our first two issues.
Right. Yeah.
But, you know, we still want to do an interview with him for Fights On. I know. Tell Rob we're working on it. There's a long list.
We'll do. Yeah, Rob's a great guy. I mean, we had interviewed him many episodes ago, and then finally had the opportunity to meet him firsthand at Millennium Con, because he actually ran that battle group game for the podcast. So it was really nice, and we had a great time, and the after party was epic for old guys. So yeah, absolutely. You want to get Rob on in your magazine as often as you can, because he's a great guy. I'm kind of thumbing through your magazine as we've been talking, and you know, I didn't cover to cover it yet, but I'm just seeing things pop out at me. It's like, oh, how did I miss that? I've got to go back and check this out. And I'm one that likes the digital format, because it's with me wherever I go.
There's been a lot of good and bad. A lot of older gamers, and, you know, I'm not trying to single older gamers out, but a lot of them have said, paper or nothing, you know?
if Ray were here with us on this, he'd be one of those guys. But yeah, no, go ahead.
But, you know, I mean, I it's back to sales, and it's back to, you know, of paper availability. And I just, like I said, guys, you know, we may not see magazines on the newsstands, and I'm not just talking, you know, Miniature War Games, War Games Illustrated, you know, Time and Newsweek may go all digital at some point in the near future.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to imagine that they won't. I mean, it was the newspapers first, and you would assume, you know, maybe, but the most elite of elite magazines next. And it might be where they only produce, you know, a couple of seasonal issues for print, and everything else is digital. So I guess, suck it up, Buttercup. Maybe it's time to, that's just what the future is going to be for this. But there's so many advantages to it, including, I would assume, and I know this is something that's been brought up to me about people who do PDF rules. You know, if there's an errata or an error, they can correct it. You know, they can just poof, there it is. You know, it's a correction, and it's not like there's, you know, 10,000 issues out there with the misspelling or the bad grammar or the missing page. You know, you can instantly fix that, you know? So I think it's a great market. I think it's fantastic to see a magazine that is centered on American gaming. Again, no slight. We have listeners in New Zealand and Australia, and lots of them in England. And, but yeah, I think it's time that we kind of have a magazine of our own. And I am super happy that you guys are doing this. So before I let you go, just give everybody the address where they can find your magazine, and tell them how they can subscribe.
Well, our website is www.militaryminiature.com. Don't do that plural, guys, or you'll never find us. But yeah, there's a long story about that extra S that I won't go into and bore your readers needlessly. But yeah, so please go there. The website after that is pretty self-explanatory. You can pre-order a single issue for $6.75, or you can get the annual digital subscription for $26.20. Now, one thing I do want to clue people in on, well, three things actually. Mm-hmm. First is we take PayPal, but PayPal is a little tricky. What you have to do is email our managing editor, Samantha. It's samantha@militaryminiature.com. And let her know you're going to take PayPal. She'll send you an invoice and we'll put you on a list where we have to email you the issues manually. Unfortunately, our sales software and PayPal's APLs don't play well together. Okay. It's long, it's technical, and to make matters short, we just can't make it work.
Understood. But you can still just put a card in. I mean, you can do it other ways too, right?
Oh yeah, you could. Credit card, we will take. And yeah. This is what the website will take. It's just some people have said, I don't want to use anything but PayPal. So I'm just letting people know PayPal is available. Yeah. It's just a little tricky.
Okay.
Okay. That's the first thing. Second thing. If you want the current issue that's coming out in January as part of your subscription, you have to subscribe before the issue comes out. Now, why this is because our system immediately clocks over to the next issue the day after it comes out. And then you basically have to wait to the next issue to come out, and that would be April.
Okay.
So, you know, some people ran into that when we released the October issue, and they're like, oh, no, where's my October issue? We had to kind of gently explain to them. Unfortunately, you're going to have to buy that extra because you subscribed on the 16th, not the 15th.
Okay.
And this was after we did a huge ad campaign about that. And the third is, like I said, we sky's the limit in terms of page count for us. But we had to call it at 112 pages for this next issue because, well, it's getting down to file size. We don't want to choke your inbox.
Right.
I don't want people drumming their fingers waiting to download the magazine. I told our managing editor, Samantha, and our tech guys, I said, listen, let's 2-minute download tops.
Right. Well, and let me say this, that, you know, this is a graphically intense publication, you know, so what you're getting in those pages is just amazing photo after photo after photo with the substance of the written material as well. So yeah, I can imagine that is a heck of a download if it went much beyond that.
Yeah, it starts to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then finally you're to the point where it's like, oh my god, can I even download this? Because I'll admit, I download War Games Illustrated on my phone. Mm-hmm. And there are times it will choke my phone. It will literally choke my phone. And I'm downloading it from the vault, which is supposed to be this really high-speed connection. And I'm like, ooh, you know?
Mm. Yeah, no, that's great. I mean, and thank you for, you know, being very forward about that, because I think, yeah, people will understand. I mean, first of all, $6 an issue, that's a great price. You know, any print magazine is going to be a good deal more than that now.
I don't even know what the cover price on War Games Illustrated or Miniature War Games is, or War Games Strategy and Soldier for that matter, because I've got digital subscriptions to all three. Mm-hmm. You got to keep an eye on the competition, as they say.
By all means.
But yeah, but you know, it's also a case of, just like I said, I made the adjustment to digital, but on the other hand, probably should be, next time I go into a hobby shop, just take a quick look at what they've got stamped on the cover. But, you know, the problem is, like I said, you're not just paying that cover price. You're also paying what it costs the distributor to bring it into the country. Mm-hmm. And that's going to get higher and higher, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. I think the last time I saw a magazine and a U.S. published magazine, like maybe it was like Military Modeler magazine, it was in the $9-$10, I think, an issue price range, and that was a domestic, you know, so your price is super fair. I hope people just, I mean, if you're listening, y'all need to give this a look, and I'm pretty sure if you give it a look, you're gonna you're going to subscribe, or you should, because I think the content is fantastic and the delivery is everything you could hope for. And again, I'm really super proud that we have an American publication like this that can cover our conventions and the things going on here in the States.
Well, I also want to say to our Canadian brethren, just because we say American, you're included. Come on in, guys.
That's right.
We've noticed a lot of you are looking and subscribing. So come on in. We'd love to have you.
That's right. That's right. It's America with the capital A that includes all of us, right?
Right.
Fantastic. Well, man, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time and battling the tech to be here with us this evening. So if you haven't, once again, I'll have the links in the show notes where you can find Military Miniature Singular Magazine, an American war game publication, for the time at least digital, and a fantastic digital publication. And we've been talking with the head guy, right? We've been talking about with the man, Jason Weiser, who is really ramrodding this amazing project. Jason, thank you so much for your time tonight.
No problem. Like I said, I can talk magazine, I can talk wargaming as long as you want.
Well, we will have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Anything But a One, Adventures in Miniature Wargaming. Find us on all your favorite podcast apps or on our webpage at anythingbutaone.buzzsprout.com. Please subscribe to the show and rate us 5 stars. And of course, tell your friends. See you next time.